God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. You shall not lie. It's a pretty clear one. That's a pretty hard one to modify. There's this zeal among people on the left, and particularly the sexual left, to simply say God didn't mean it, or they were wrong, or God didn't understand how people were made, or it wasn't meant for this time. Just all sorts of ways to try to pretend that the Word of God isn't what it says it is. You shall not lie is a hard one to do away with, difficult to modify. Now, of course, Satan is the master at lying without lying. Did God really say you would die? He's lying by implication, because God cannot lie, because God is truth. I say this because I would like to address anybody in this audience who happens to work in the Mockingbird media. Oh, I know from time to time you scan these channels, that you listen to national radio. And I know from time to time that there are good people who work in national media who are listening to this, keeping their heads down at their jobs, trying to do the best they can in a circumstance where they're working for organs that have become nothing more than spokespeople for the state and spokespeople for far worse than the state. If you're in that position, I do pray for you. I do. I know a paycheck is a precious thing these days. I hope that you are never going to participate in being told to lie. I hope that you will not do that for a paycheck. I was told to do that for a paycheck. And when I stepped out of local radio, I was told never work again in radio. Said no to a 5-year contract. God replaced that and then some. I also would like to address, just briefly, people who work in national media who are lying. God sees you, and so do we. There is a form in Arizona from the AHCCCS. This is the Medicaid office. Ned Ryan found this. Ned is a commentator. You see him on Fox News. Very successful conservative activist, American greatness, senior fellow, and married man, Christian. He found this form that explicitly tells folks that if their citizenship status cannot be confirmed, no worries. We'll make sure to send you a federal-only ballot. Apparently, the law in Arizona is you have to be a citizen to vote in state elections, but not federal. A note to the Mockingbird media. We watched you employ what I call the propaganda of silence over the transing of kids. You pretended it wasn't happening for 6 to 7, maybe even 8 years. People like me talked about it, and you refused to engage, to mention it at all. We saw you do this with critical race theory in the schools. Well, that's not being taught. There's no critical race theory in the schools. What are you talking about? That's a college-level concept. Oh, critical race theory informs curricula in the schools. No, that's not happening. That's never happened. And then one day you said, wait a minute, this isn't news. This has always happened. We've always done this. This is just history. We watched you. We watched you dutifully repeat the lies of COVID. The injections are 98% safe and effective. Stay home, stay safe. We watched you do that. We watched you then ignore the deaths and the injuries from the mRNA injections. You're still doing that to a large degree. We watched you say safest, most secure election in history, though no one had investigated at that point. You were ready to say it within hours of the polls closing in the most rigged election in history. Right now, we're watching as you are pretending that non-citizens are not voting. That's what you're pretending. You're lying. And you are destroying your own credibility, but far worse than that. You shall not lie. You shall not lie. This is an immigration lawyer And sorry about the background music. It was his video. He put it up to help recruit clients. It's him talking about what his clients have been able to get away with his help.
How this client almost got deported, lost her green card because of a mistake during her citizenship interview. So this client retained my office after attending her citizenship interview with another attorney. What happened in that interview is that the officer discovered that she voted in the most recent elections and she's not a U.S. citizen yet. The consequences of voting without being a U.S. citizen could be devastating, resulting in removal and deportation. When I read the facts of this case, I realized that the only reason why she voted is because when she went to renew her driving license, they gave her an automatic ballot to complete. And this is something that's been happening in DMV offices all over the country, where some immigrants go renew their driving license and they receive a ballot for voting. So we were able to show the government that she didn't really intend to vote. It was pretty much an automatic registration at DMV. And finally, after a long wait, I got this text from my client that they were selected for the oath ceremony next Monday.
So he straightened it out for the client. Apparently, she did the right thing. It admitted she voted or registered to vote. Why are illegal immigrants and immigrants who are not citizens being registered to vote? For fraud. It's to make it easy to commit fraud. With a ton of registrations floating around, it's simply a matter of who gets to fill out their ballot. It's that easy. It's fraud. It's a stealing of elections. There's at least 23 congressional seats that exist solely because of illegal immigrants. And to the national mockingbird media, we know you're lying about this. We know you're covering it up. Far more disconcertingly, or it should be for you, God sees as well. Oh, he sees our problems. I could probably do a 2-hour show about my challenges and my wrestling matches with God. I don't know that it would be appropriate, but I could do it. I know God sees. Do you? See, Democrats are claiming that Republicans are lying about all of this, that this is not happening. A Chicago Democrat, Jonathan Jackson, confirmed that illegals were being put on Social Security. Here's one of the reactions by some of the town hall goers.
This country and get a stipend, link, a free room and board, free child care, and some of them are getting Social Security. And when my ancestors were released from slavery, they got the clothes on their back. But yet they were told to be happy. So why am I and everyone in this country footing the bill for people who are non-Americans, who don't vote, who don't fight in any of our wars, who've never paid a tax? And we're told that if we say anything, we're xenophobic. Tell me why. Tell us all why. I want to know.
I think it's wrong.
We disagree, but that's my brother. I just want to say, anyway, what the sister said, I don't give a about no Joe Biden. So if that lady want to pass out something about that, that's her free will. Y'all can't be forcing democracy on people. She got the right, just like you got the right to say vote for Joe Biden. I got the right as somebody who represents formerly incarcerated person to say Joe Biden and Clinton 94 crime bill created that. And we haven't recovered from that.
So the town hall was filled with people absolutely angry, talking about how this disparity between how illegal immigrants are treated and how they're treated. Now, you could say it's coveting, you could say it's jealousy. I would say it's well-placed frustration. There was a man who really went down to the level of concern about youth, unemployment, high crime rates, being ignored by Democrat politicians all the while as they seek to provide money to illegal immigrants.
The only asylum seekers that's perpetually discriminated against in this country by everybody is formerly incarcerated people. They have 18,000 homeless ex-cons, yet they're around here talking about public safety. You don't even know where these men are. Then you let more ex-convicts in here in the name of migrants.
They are frustrated. They should be. Because what's happening is purposeful and the mockingbird media is pretending it is not occurring. Here's another instance of this that God sees. He needs to see the difference here, and I want people in the Mockingbird media to understand this. The difference is we have to guess at your motives. I mean, I think we're right. You seek to overturn this country forever. You seek an actual, for real, permanent insurrection based upon importing people into this country who don't care about her. They don't care about our values. They're being paid to come, effectively. They're being shown that you can do whatever you like when you get here. We're not going to deport you. That's why you have so many criminal elements coming in, because they know what a gold rush is. The cartels get that. And yeah, there are some people coming across the border who are classically, simply looking to get into America to better their lives. Of course, that's true. And we have to love all of them. We have to. That's not a choice. Jesus didn't say, love your enemy if you feel like it. He said, love your enemy. So we have to, even the criminal cartels, along with the people who are simply trying to get a better life. The reason I wanted to address the Mockingbird media on this is because your history of lies is so clear. I just wanted you to know, for convenience sake, we see you lying about this. Did you know that you are now paying, not just for the retirement of Ukrainian public officials, you are. You're also allowing Ukrainian refugees to claim American Social Security benefits simply by being here. Never having paid in. They just got here.
President Joe Biden is committed to welcoming 100,000 Ukrainians who fled the war there. Our viewers asked us to verify if Ukrainians here in the United States are receiving benefits like Social Security. Let's check. Our sources are the Social Security Administration, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the Uniting for Ukraine program, and immigration lawyer Charles Cook. According to Cook, there are three ways Ukrainians can legally seek refuge here. One is through the Uniting for Ukraine program. Those who qualify can stay in the U.S. for up to 2 years as humanitarian parolees and receive some benefits.
They're eligible for food stamps. They're eligible for Supplemental Social Security, SSI. They're eligible for insurance, Medicare.
The Social Security Administration says that certain Ukrainians in the U.S. may be eligible for SSI benefits. The Office of Refugee Resettlement confirms humanitarian parolees may also be eligible for assistance through existing programs, like the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families.
So it's happening. That's verified. That's the fact-checking thing for some of the NBC television affiliates. They even verify it. They told the truth on this instance. I thank you for that. You should do more of it. George Stephanopoulos asked figurehead Biden, the man through whom all this is being done, about his approval rating.
He may bring me down. He may.
Mr. President, I've never seen a president at 36% approval get reelected.
Well, I don't believe that's my approval rating. That's not what our polls show.
Well, it's what the polls show. See, the figurehead, Biden, is absolutely the perfect man at the perfect time to get all of this pushed through, which means God wants us to see. It is God's intent that this country go through this period of darkness. Already, we're seeing the benefits in God's plan. I have met countless people whose awakening started politically. Oh my goodness, we're on our own. The Mockingbird media has lied. The COVID lockdowns were a farce. They were, in fact, transing kids. They are, in fact, teaching racism in the schools. The election stunk to high heaven. It was clearly rigged. The awakening started with politics. Many people then moved geographically to get out of the corrupt cities. And when they relocated to places like Idaho, they noticed that, wow, everybody goes to church. All the conservatives go to church. And then the miraculous, the ultimate eye-opening. God is real. Many have accepted him based upon this. Praise God. It is the attack on families that's driving a lot of this. More on that as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is Disciples View. In the book of Ezekiel, God tells us about a watchman on the tower. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. I'm not saying I'm a watchman on a tower in the Disciples' View. I'm just Todd Herman. And I do want to address, again, some audience members. Now, there we, last segment, we talked to Mockingbird media members who happen to be listening to AFR. It does happen. And we're simply informing them that God sees you lying. We see you lying. We saw the series of lies about transing kids, about the COVID response, the injections, the safety thereof, the safest, most secure election in history. Watched you lie for 4 years about the mental capacity and capabilities of Joe Biden. We watched it. We watched you participate in the lie that there were armies of white supremacists crouched outside of all the major cities, all the capitals of the states, ready to seize power. We watched you do that. We watched you participate in the television program that was the January 6th hearings, complete with a television news producer brought in to make sure that the program had zing. We've watched you lie through the propaganda of silence by not disclosing the fact that that committee was extra constitutional and that it destroyed evidence. It committed the very crime that the Department of Justice has used to jail people who didn't commit that crime. The actual destruction of evidence by the January 6th committee resulted in no punishment, where people who walked into an open Capitol through open doors, not stopped, they didn't commit an act of violence, they certainly didn't tear up any papers or destroy any government records, but that's what they were charged with. And many have been in jail or prison without a hearing for now 3, going on 4 years. We've watched you lie about that. We talked to the Mockingbird media in the last segment. Now, to state-level media people, many of you are great Christians doing the very, very best you can to serve. Praise God. Thank you. Many of you are not yet Christians. I hope that will change. I hope God will call you to himself. And if you're hearing this, guess what? He is. If you're not a Christian and you happen to have tuned into this, guess what? That's God calling you. This is not happenstantial. No one at AFR has the power to make you tune in. To people working in Mockingbird media, newspapers, local television stations, we see you too. You are lying. God says, do not lie. It's a very clear commandment. And in Ezekiel, I'm taking the responsibility, according to Ezekiel, to say, okay, I see this. I want to warn you because it's my responsibility to warn you, and because I love you, and because I love this nation, and because I would like to see these lies stop. I was witness to in Washington State the same thing that many people like me were witness to in California and Oregon. As the sexual left began the march into schools and libraries, we stood alone. When I exposed on my program in Seattle, way back in the day, one of the first drag queen storytime events in the nation, I was instantly called homophobic. I had, in fact, an invitation to go on a radio show hosted by a leftist who was a friend of mine. So I went on his program and he said, you do know that drag has been part of gay culture for years, right? And he was stunned. When I said, yeah, absolutely, I know that. In fact, I eat breakfast at Julia's up the street quite a lot. If I have a day that's not in the gym and I run, I often go into Julia's and eat. He goes, wait, you know about Julia's? I said, yeah, it's great omelets. It's just up the street up here. You know that's a drag house? No, it's a drag house on the weekends at night. During the week, it's a great breakfast place. They have farm fresh organic eggs. They've got farm fresh produce. Comes straight from Pike Place Market. You know that's gay owned? Oh, no, I didn't know that. Huh, thanks for telling me. You're not going to stop going there? Why would I? It's a great breakfast place. I'm known there. I have my own table. I eat there regularly enough that when I walk in, they recognize me, say my name, and sit down. I eat. I like that place. What he wanted from me was shock. That, oh, wait, this is part of gay culture. I knew that. Doesn't mean I have to like it. And it does mean that when I went into a place like that to eat, when a waiter or waitress found out who I was, when they asked me, what do you do? Well, I'm a radio host. Oh, you are? Where? Conservative talk radio. What? Yeah, what? Yes. Wow. But you're so nice. Thank you. You are too. It was an opportunity to share with people. To be in the world and not of it. See, what Guy wanted was for me to say, oh, I didn't know that, so I could show my ignorance. What I said to Guy was, at what point did it become part of so-called gay culture to do this in front of kids? And I'll never forget this. Guy said, just because it happened once doesn't mean it's a thing. I said, it's a thing. It's organized top-down, and it was. It was. See, the watchman on the tower, to the local media people, we saw you ignore the perverse pornographic sex ed. We saw you, we watched you pretend it was not in the schools. Then when it was impossible to ignore the fact that it was in the schools, we watched you pretend that this was simply good touch, bad touch, simply trying to keep kids safe from sexual abuse. We watched you pretend that. Then we watched you pretend that it's racism to talk about perverse pornographic sex ed in the schools, even though Black and Hispanic and Asian parents are just as against it as we are. We watched you bring spokespeople on for the sexual left to claim that this was simply anti-gay. We watched you use the phrase, don't say gay bill. There is no such bill. It's never existed. That was never the intent or the material fact of the law in Florida. We watched you. You know we know you're lying. God knows your motives. As a watchman on the tower, I'm telling you, there's a sword coming. Please don't let it take your head off. Please repent. This is not just local media, of course. This is from the Daily Mail. This is a rough headline. I'm just going to warn you. Danish 17-year-old girl who used pepper spray to fight off a rapist near a migrant asylum center is told she will be prosecuted for carrying the weapon. A 17-year-old was targeted by a man as she walked through Sodenborg. She was knocked to the ground by the attacker who tried to undress her. But she used pepper spray on the man to bring the assault to an end. As pepper spray is illegal in Denmark, officials say she will be prosecuted. She simply should have allowed herself to be raped. We see you pretending that we have not been forced to allow a massive influx of criminals into our country. We're watching you pretend we are not creating no-go zones. We are watching you in local media pretend there are not areas of certain states, Minneapolis, for instance, or Minnesota, for instance, that are not now no-go zones. We're watching you pretend this. We're watching you pretend that there has not been a massive increase in rapes in these cities. We're watching. More disconcertingly, you should know that God is watching and he knows your motives. He knows our failings. He knows our sins. He knows our internal struggles. What is whispered in the dark will one day be shouted from the rooftops. In the state of California, there is a continuing effort to make it a felony to purchase the bodies of children to impose upon them your sexual lusts. Let me say that more clearly. There is an ongoing, almost two-year battle to make it again a felony for a man, usually a man, to purchase, to rent for money, the body of a child for sexual purposes. This is actually being debated, and it's actually being fought against. This was a hearing on this bill, SB 1414. It would make it a felony to do that, to purchase children for your sexual gratification. A first woman speaking against this, a member of the sexual left, no doubt, said that a felony charge for purchasing children for sex would disproportionately affect the LGB so-called TQ community.
We believe that SB 1414 takes an overly punitive approach that fails to address the root causes of these issues and will not effectively stop sexual violence. We are particularly concerned that the harsher penalties proposed in this bill will disproportionately impact marginalized communities, especially members of the LGBTQ community, who already suffer from systematic biases within the criminal justice system, particularly when it comes to sexually based offenses. Studies have shown that LGBTQ people, particularly gay and transgendered individuals, are more likely to be charged with sex offenses compared to their heterosexual counterparts. For instance, LGBTQ individuals are 9 times more likely to be charged with sodomy. Measures like SB 1414 lead to higher rates of incarceration, longer sentences, and increased difficulties in finding housing and employment.
Inherent in this is just the lies within the lies. Number one, no one is transgender because no one has been born in the wrong body. Number two, people who identify as their sexual appetite are more likely to want to engage in rampant indulging of their sexual appetites. I mean, if you identify as a sexual appetite, you're far more likely to want to indulge in that. Makes sense, right? The so-called marginalized community of which she speaks, supposedly transgender people, are the most powerful group of people in the world. Well, I mean, vying for that with illegal immigrants. They are the only group of people who have succeeded in getting legislation passed to force you to go along with a psychosis. That's power. I mean, I don't remember the exact George Orwell quote, but power is effectively being able to force people to speak your words against their own conscience. We're watching California media ignore this. We're watching it. This is an effort to make it again a felony to purchase a child's body for sexual use. SB 1414 in California. It's a real bill. At this hearing, a second woman claims that SB 1414 would perpetuate cycles of incarceration and disproportionately impact minority racial groups.
Today, EBC must strongly oppose Senate Bill 1414. For the reasons I will state, we stand against any punitive measure that perpetuates systemic injustices, and we emphasize instead the need for community-based solutions. We strongly support investments in victim services and programs to provide housing and other alternatives to help people escape trafficking. We are concerned that the harsher penalties contained in this bill will disproportionately impact marginalized communities, particularly Black and brown individuals who already bear the brunt of systemic biases within our criminal justice system. Under current California law, defendants could face years or even decades in prison for sexual violence committed against a minor, not just 6 months in jail, as Senator Grove and prosecutors have previously claimed. Furthermore, the approach outlined in SB 1414 diverts resources from vital programs and services aimed at supporting survivors of human trafficking and sexual exploitation, opting instead to increase funding for lengthy jail terms. Our research has shown that punitive measures such as lengthy incarceration and registries do little to prevent crime or protect communities.
There is so much in the way she has written out her lies. She is commingling so much. Let's just piece this apart. Does putting a child rapist in prison prevent that person from raping children? Yes. Does it drop other crimes? No. That's what she was combining those numbers. Are we to believe that Black people are just inherently rapists of children? No. When she's talking about so-called marginalized racial communities being disproportionately impacted by these laws, she's talking about pimps who pimp out Black kids. Black-on-Black crime. It doesn't make it worse. It doesn't make it better. It just makes it what it is. Horrific. And do you think Black mothers and fathers are concerned that men who would pimp out their kids are going to face harsher prison sentences for a longer period of time? No. The law can do two things and three things at once, or even four. It can put in prison men who purchase the bodies of children for sexual gratification and therefore protect children. It can then reduce the number of children who are being trafficked or raped. And doing that means you don't need as much money for programs to help victims recover. Remember this. In that fallen country of California, which bears no resemblance to the United States, they have already created safe houses for kids who want to flee their parents because their parents will not participate in the delusion that their little girl is a boy. They've already created safe houses for that for kids from all around the country. To the Mockingbird Media members working in local media, newspapers, television, radio, etc., we see you covering this up. We know you are lying through the propaganda of silence. God sees all, including your motives. I hope you'll repent. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling and the Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and we'll get to the Tower of Babbling here just very, very briefly. I continue to look at the video of figurehead Biden talking with George Stephanopoulos, and I continue to wonder what caused George Stephanopoulos to actually do an interview, because in all reality, he did. He did a good job. And I just spent the last segment castigating and criticizing, in fact, the last two. First segment really, really calling out the lies of the Mockingbird media as they pretend on a nationwide basis, they're pretending that illegal immigrants and non-citizens aren't voting our elections. It's a massive, massive cover-up, just like they covered up the cognitive state of Joe Biden and so many other things. Massive use of the propaganda of silence, which is what I've named it. One of the few phrases I've in radio that I've trademarked, the propaganda of silence. It's their most powerful tool. In the second segment, did the same thing with the Mockingbird media members in local media, covering up the perverse pornographic sex ed in the schools, but now covering up the fact that states like California are obsessed, the left is obsessed with making it easier for men to purchase the bodies of children to carry out their perverse sexual desires. That's an actual happening, and the Mockingbird media is covering it up, just as they're covering up the massive industrial-level selling of babies through massive industrial-level purchasing or creating of babies, being purchased largely by men, and in many cases being used openly for the sexual gratification of these men. We've painted that picture and provided those details. It's going to be a $100 billion market soon, $150 billion, the creation and selling of babies. And the media is silent on that. So I wanted to be fair. George Stephanopoulos did conduct an interview. He really did a good job talking with figurehead Biden. As I watched the figurehead respond to Stephanopoulos, I am drawn to the fact that I think the figurehead truly believes he's winning. So how could that be? It can be because the figurehead is told this. The figurehead, Biden, is absolutely cloistered away, kept in a bubble on purpose. First of all, according to media reports, Axios, Politico, and others, when Biden snaps at people, it's frightening. I mean, he's a figurehead, but he has a lot of power. People around him are going to do what he says a lot of the time. Not all the time, but a lot of it. And apparently when he gets news he doesn't like, he snaps and goes into a rage. And this can be the case with dementia. It can just absolutely blunt people's filters or do away with people's filters. The other is that he cannot be allowed to know how bad things are. And Stephanopoulos did do a good job. He did. And I watched the figurehead's face as Stephanopoulos asks actual follow-up questions. And he is confused and he is enraged. He's enraged. He sees that you can see in his eyes that he's communicating to Stephanopoulos, I cannot believe you're doing this to me. I cannot believe you're conducting an interview. I cannot believe you're asking a follow-up question. Now, compare that to the treatment that Morning Joe gave the figurehead. When he, the figurehead, called into Morning Joe's program on MSNBC, Scarborough, and the woman with whom he committed adultery and then eventually married, the treatment there was far, far different. And still, I marvel at the fact that figurehead Biden does not know how bad things are.
The American public is not going to move away from me as the average voter. And again, I'm here for two reasons, pal. One, to rebuild the economy for hardworking middle-class people, give everybody a shot. Just a straight shot. Everybody gets a fair chance, number one. Number two, remember all this talk about how I don't have the black support? Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. Watch. I'm getting so frustrated by the elites. Now, I'm not talking about you guys, but about the elites in the party who they know so much more. But if any of these guys don't think I should run against me, go ahead, announce the president. Challenge me at the convention.
Do you hear this? So, first of all, the statistics show that President Trump's support from black voters has tripled. These are consistent across almost all polls. The Real Clear Politics average of polls shows that. Secondly, he just said, announce against me, run against me. Your campaign has sued Bobby Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., to keep him off of the ballots. The DNC and your campaign are suing to make sure he's off the ballots. You moved to prevent him from being on the debate stage, even though he had amassed the necessary amount of support to be on the debate stage. See, I don't think figurehead Biden even knows these things are going on. And of course, Mika Brzezinski, the woman who committed adultery with Joe Scarborough before they decided to become married, they're not going to say anything about that. Stephanopoulos did a better job. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling, almost always three. Speaking of black support, we played earlier in the program a town hall in Chicago where a group of largely black people expressed their anger and frustration at the fact that illegal immigrants are being given far, far more than black residents of Chicago in terms of government programs and cash handouts. And in fact, black people being told you don't get to live here anymore. This is now for illegal immigrants. We're talking about in Chicago, black people upset that illegal immigrants are being allowed to vote. So why would it be that black support for figurehead Biden is plummeting? Maybe because of things like this. This is the so-called mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson. Want to know who he blames for the massive numbers of shootings that happen every single weekend in Chicago? This past weekend, it was 79 shootings.
Black death has been, unfortunately, accepted in this country for a very long time. We had a chance 60 years ago to get at the root causes, and people mocked President Johnson. And we ended up with Richard Nixon.
He's blaming Richard Nixon for 79 shootings nearly every weekend in the city over which he's mayor. It's Nixon's fault. Now, I wonder why support among black people for figurehead Biden is so low. If only there was a way to construct a guess. Donna Brazile is a proud black woman. Proud black woman. She's also a woman who helped rig the debates by giving questions to some of the participants in advance. She talked about a rally for Kamala Harris, but I'll tell you something about this rally in just a second.
Kamala Harris has earned the right to be considered if, I mean, we got a lot of what-if scenarios, but she's strong, she's down in Louisiana, she was able to, she had a rally last night with 60,000 people. I've heard from so many folks, including my family, they say she's fired up and ready to go, and they're not going to replace her.
She's fired up and ready to go. She had this incredible rally. Well, except that didn't happen. Newsbusters points out that what Donna Brazile is talking about here is a Kamala Harris rally that it just didn't occur. Never happened. Well, she wasn't called out on that. I mean, she should have been, but she wasn't. See, it sounds impressive that this advocacy was so vibrant and brought in 60,000 people. Newsbusters, needless to say, there was no Kamala Harris rally attended by 60,000 people in Louisiana. There was the 30th Essence Festival of Culture, the concert portions of which are held in Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, and Harris popped in on Friday night to greet the crowd and promote her next appearance. This is obviously not a rally. Gosh, I wonder why black support for the figurehead is plummeting when people like Donna Brazile are lying to black people. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Have you ever heard a so-called president more infantized than this?
After that, the president will hold a press conference. I guess a big boy press conference is what we're calling it.
The unprecedented strength of our alliance. Hold a press conference, a big boy press conference.
Yo, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the
A big boy press conference. Wow. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
We often wrap up these last segments with a personal observation from me, often a personal story. I'll tell you something that gave me a great kind of thrill was going back through with my daughter and remembering some things. Our daughter suffered some very serious trauma. And that trauma led to radical changes in who she was for a while. And it really, really frightened us and horrified us and, in fact, changed us as parents and as people. Praise God, he has done so much to rescue her, so much. One of the things that will happen with trauma kids is that even good memories get sunk. Because sometimes to protect against the bad memories, all memories are thrown together. They become clouded, they become blurry, and there are these emotions that they felt during this time. They'll often attach to important people. So the emotion of fear and anger and rage and disappointment and having been deceived, that form of emotion attaches itself to people around them, even people who never harmed them. So sometimes it's a struggle to get the good memories back. The other day, I came out of the back room, and my daughter was sitting on the floor in our living room, and she had photo albums out. This is new. She had all the photo albums out. I came and said, oh my goodness, you're looking at family photos. She said, well, I was looking for a game to take on my trip, a board game, but yeah. She said, Dad, I remember this. What happened? And I sat down and looked, and it was her in a racing helmet with some go-karts in this indoor facility in Tacoma. I said, do you remember that? She goes, kind of, but something happened. I said, okay, we went there with Jackie and Steve, and you were having fun racing. And then she goes, oh, that guy crashed into me. I said, yes, right. He was foolish. He was really foolish. She said, yeah, I was parked. And he rammed me from behind. I said, yes, he did. It was very, very dangerous. These were really fast go-karts. And my daughter had done well. Her friends had done well. This guy was just irresponsible as heck. And my daughter didn't want to race anymore. She said, you went out. I said, yes, I did. You showed him. I said, yes, I did. See, I'd grown up racing cars from the time I was seven and began racing against adult men when I was 14 and 15 years old. I know the sport very, very well. And this is before my eyesight started to go. So I got in the go-karts. And I made it my duty in life to show this guy how to drive a race car. And it was a road track, twisting turns, banks, etc. And he did everything he could to shut me down. And every single time he and I went at it, I schooled him. Absolutely schooled him. I'm not trying to brag. It sounds bragging. It sounds prideful. So forgive me for that. I was trying to communicate to the man. Afterwards, after having beaten him in four or five straight races and utterly schooled him, I was in next to the go-kart, helmet off, standing there with my little girl, and this guy came making a beeline, walking straight up to me. And then he slowed, and he knelt down a little bit. He said, "Darling, I was really stupid. I hit you, and it was really bad, and I wanted to apologize to you. And your daddy just taught me how to drive race cars. Sir, you've done a bit of this." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Honey, your dad just, he just showed me what it's like to really know what you're doing. I'm really sorry, sweetie." My daughter said, "I do remember that. You didn't hit him." I said, "No, I did not hit him. I showed him." Praise God that she can remember again. Until the Lord decides you and I can visit again together, may his peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
We at American Family Association are committed to making a difference and keeping you informed about the things you care about. We have already been greatly successful in bringing about change for the better by providing you with important information about things like current legislation and petitions that can affect your family. Text the word MYAFA to 41411 to get involved. Every week, you'll receive text messages with all the details you need to help make a difference for the kingdom. Text MYAFA, that's all one word, to 41411.